The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the firing! Solo to pick it. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, gee whiz.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And how are you feeling about football?
I'm still pretty smug.
Yep.
I was very lucky. Mad Tigers, I know, decided to host a little party where we watch the grand final
in, oh, nice,
in lovely home office, office slash bar. And the moment where Dersma drops the mark in the port final, it just never stops being fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's a highlight in a season of highlights, I must say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, and it's nice to be able to celebrate the key moments with fellow Tigers, which of course we only got to do virtually if you lived in Victoria.
Indeed. Yeah, it's like, honestly, normally at this time of year I need a bit of a break from football, and then get into draft research. But yeah, I'm not really ready for it. Like, you know, I still want to enjoy the marinate in the experience of, you know, back-to-back premierships, 3 and 4 years. It's almost more than I dreamed was possible.
No, absolutely. And it's funny, is discussing this with a few, I barely know what day the draft is on, and you know, I'm honestly not that excited about it. And look, we've said this all the last 3 years in a row, basically, is that, you know, drafts aren't as exciting when you have a really good team and you're drafting at the end of the first round. But it's no less true this year.
I know, and look, it is a look. We'll get to talking about the draft, but in a really unique season, the researching for the draft is just one of many things that's been completely odd this year. But look, in speaking about how much we're enjoying past glories, have you had a chance to see the footage of Dimmer from the 2019 grand final from AFL On Demand yet?
I think only the first quarter, but why do you bring it up?
Well, honestly, my reaction to it was, oh my God, I hope senior coaches do a lot more than that, because otherwise the robots are going to replace us all. Because if you just programmed a robot to say, good boy, whenever somebody did something good, or whenever somebody's coming onto the ground to tell them to race the fight, or... Oh no, that was pretty much it, actually. And when we got ahead by 70 points, he said, "I think we're going to win it."
So, I know lots of people enjoyed it, but I must admit, I had a similar reaction to you. And when I watched it, I thought, you know, why give permission for people to record this video if you're not going to let them put any of the interesting stuff in it? Having said that, I get lots of people enjoyed it, but I just the level of paranoia and censorship, you know, just gets too much. Look, if you want to see Dimmer's aggressive side. Watch one of his press conferences when he talks about Tom Lynch. Like, this is it's not a secret that it's a contact sport and that it requires a certain type of personality. But sure, but as I said, many people enjoyed it, so it shouldn't be cheerless. But yes, I would have watched the other three quarters had there been more than 5% of the content allowed to be released.
But look, fun nonetheless.
Lovely, good editing. It is well done.
And I actually enjoyed that Damien Hardwick is as paranoid a nufty as I am when it comes to worrying about if we're going to win or not. Because, yeah, I think I didn't really relax until we were about 10 goals ahead, and it was nice to see that he was something similar.
Yes, I mean, we mentioned on the pod before, but, you know, you did try to hedge and bet on GWS at halftime.
Look, something else that sort of... Another big bit of news, but and I know one that you've got strong feelings about, but they've announced the long-rumoured redevelopment of Punt Road, including new home for the Bashir Hawley Foundation, the KGI Institute, better facilities for the VFL and AFLW teams, but at the cost of tearing down the Jack Dyer stand. How do you feel about it?
We haven't talked much about it on the show, but you know how I feel. I'm quite sad about it. You've got to separate the two, sort of separating the two issues. Of course, all those things are fantastic, and I've just read the Bashir Hawley book and absolutely loved it, and, you know, his institute is fantastic, and all those things are things that are really important to the club. Like, on the recent club survey, I put sort of the work that of the social issues that the club attempts to have a positive influence on, I put the Indigenous work the highest. So they're all things I fundamentally believe in and I'm proud of the club for doing. So the aim is not the question here, is just, was there another way that we could create the office space without tearing down the sort of the iconic stand of Punt Road? Now, look, the truth is old buildings are really expensive. You can go around the Parliament of Victoria and there's great big cracks in it. They're really hard to maintain. These are the most important buildings of Victoria, are really expensive and difficult to maintain. And I know these heritage decisions are difficult and expensive. So we've made a decision. We've moved on. The administration's so popular rightfully right now that it's going to be completely backed in. That's going to happen. I am slightly... A bit sad that they didn't tell us this was the plan until it was publicly announced. There's no plan to save the stand, by the way. It's just going to be demolished as far as I know. Look, I get it. You got to move with the times, yeah. And there's no point in crying over spilt milk because it's going to happen no matter what. But I think it could have been handled slightly better. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Look, it is a, you know, a couple of years ago when they, they found an old sign scrubbed into the wall that had been over, painted over by, you know, 10 generations of paint, but an ad for gin from the Depression era, like stuff. Yeah, you can't replace like stuff like that. But yeah, it's hard. Like it. You know, it's not many of the big clubs are still at their traditional homes, you know, and the ones that have been extensively redone. But, you know, Collingwood's moved, Hawthorn, Essendon have moved, you know, Carlton have managed to keep their home, Geelong, Western Bulldogs. So, you know, it's about 50-50 with the Melbourne clubs who have or haven't kept a link. I think, I don't know,
I should confess, Nick, I'm off the charts a lover of old VFL grounds. During lockdown, one of the things I'd do was ride around to all the different ones just as for exercise. So look, this is my thing, right? So it's just I accept that I'm particularly sensitive on this issue. So you just got to sometimes be self-aware and move on. But I'm definitely sad about the stand going.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Except Carlton, Nick. I never ride to see the Carlton ground. I find it deeply visually unsatisfying.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's somehow, it is. I never was nostalgic about it when I had to go there, and yeah. Whereas Western Oval has character. Arden Street, Geelong,
Vic Park is just beautiful, like it is. They've done a magnificent job restoring it. We digress. Yeah, so it is what it is, but good on the club for getting all that government funding as well, quite a lot from both state and federal level, I believe. So that's obviously will help us continue our community work.
Yeah, I think they've got about half the money they need. I think they've got about $15 million each from the state and the Commonwealth governments. Look, I'm really happy that the VFL team and the AFLW team will play there. It'll have a capacity of 8,000, which I think's a really good size for both. The size of the ground will be the same as the MCG, which is really good, which I think is part of potentially the motivation for knocking down the stand. It is. We'll be losing something you can't replace.
Well said. On to happier matters, Nick.
Are we doing happier matters? I thought we were going to talk about who got delisted.
No, we're coming to that. First, we're doing our training the house down.
Oh, that's true.
Nick?
And that's a very good point, because it took, you like to think, we've won 3 flags in 4 years. We're just nursing our way through pre-season. But the very first photograph I saw today, I thought, Will Martin, looking fit. And I was back. Footy's back.
So there has already been Channel 9 stories about how much Jack Ross, how hard he's been training, how he came back early, how he's particularly dedicated. People whose football opinion, who are well-informed and good judges, have noticed similar things about apparently he's looking absolutely shredded at the moment. I think Jack Ross is our Will Martin as a honourable mention, but I think Jack Ross is our inaugural training the house down candidate. And it filled my heart full of joy that today someone Caesar from Punt Road End wrote his first training report of the year, which was first time in the year that someone said Sydney Stack was trailing behind in the sprint drill, which has been a regular feature of every preseason since he arrived. But it was just nice to see the report. He's also apparently looking quite buff, so according to another report. So there you go. There's always a mixture in these reports, isn't there?
One bit of good news that we got this week was both Callum Coleman-Jones and Sydney Stack will be allowed to play both senior preseason games but also VFL games leading up to round 5 when their suspension ends. And I'm on the Callum Coleman-Jones hype train. If he can, have a really big preseason, I think there's a good chance that we play a second ruck for a decent part of the year. Maybe not in finals, but I think it makes sense to have a second ruck and help nurse Nank through the year.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll come to this in a second, but this club has one the most obvious glaring need is having a potential, what happens if Jack gets injured this year? Now, obviously, we'll talk about this in the draft, but also, like, Callum, if Callum can actually play some credible minutes in the forward line. I mean, how incredibly valuable could that be, and gives us so much more flexibility and depth, depending on a Lynch that an injury to one of our two big. So yeah, actually just today as I was doing some washing up, I was reflecting on that exact point about Nick. I carefully thought about all the possible options and then decided I'd think about rucks a lot and decide how important they are.
Very good. And actually I promise you I will finish the draft preview with a ruck smoky for you. So I know that's right up your alley.
You've already kind of crushed my hopes and dreams on that. But anyway, is that a good way to segue into the draft talk?
Well, mate, let's do the list changes because you sort of
course set the table.
Set the table. So after long and painful discussions, some of which haven't been fully resolved, they've agreed on the list numbers for next year, that teams have to have a minimum of 36 on the senior list, and including rookies, they can have up to 44 players. I think somewhat disappointingly, the AFL have agreed on the size of the pay cut for next year and just told the clubs, oh, you go and work at that out with the players, which I think... that's a pretty uncomfortable situation to put on the clubs.
Always good to make all the really hard decisions be done by the person who has to see that person every day.
Yeah.
Very fair.
And when you the AFL, you know, are happily there, agreeing the collective bargain in good times, pretty much squibbing it when it gets difficult. So,
good point.
So we've had 6 people go off the list. The most high profile of them, obviously, being Alex Rance, who, while walking out on the club 12 months ago, was still technically a contracted player. Oleg Markov, we mentioned on our last show, traded to the Gold Coast for a third round draft pick next year. Subsequently, pretty much as we predicted, Jack Higgins traded for a second round draft pick next year and a swap of first round draft picks this year. And subsequently, Fraser Turner, Luke English, and Derek Eglamazy Smith delisted. So, yeah, how did you feel about it all?
Well, I mean, the biggest story. The big surprises were that Garth and Miller stuck around, I think.
Yeah.
And apparently they said publicly have said that they're not overly enamored with the sort of key back depth available in this year's draft.
No, that's fair enough. And Ben Miller was demoted to the rookie list, so it wasn't a ringing endorsement. But yeah, we don't have a lot of depth there.
Yeah, and like this is a pet thing, you know, Nick. Now we've done it with one premierships, and you know it's helped us keep Choll around, who's given us useful input in regular season games. That you know, it's a little bit disappointing that we're not going deep into the rookie draft as we have in previous years, because it's been an incredibly lucrative way for us to get new prospects. But it is what it is. What's clearly the case is that, we've just got... It's a really simple list. What we need on the list is very, very clear. Like, the most glaring need is a quality couple of young forwards, but that was the case last year. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... We can't forget last year's draft, where we took a whole bunch of inside mids and small medium forwards.
Yeah, I think... A replacement, I don't think where we're drafting, you can hope of getting anything like a proper replacement for Jack, but I think, yeah, key forward depths, definitely.
Well, you can hope to get someone who's upside, who has a 15% chance of being as good as Jack, maybe 20%.
Well, maybe it's better to think of it as, can you get someone who can complement Lynch, and that's a less demanding question than, you know, a multiple Coleman medalist. But yeah, the key forwards an obvious need. We've just if you think about having Markov, Eglamazi, Smith, like, and even to an extent Fraser Turner, they're all half back pocket types. So I do think picking up somebody who can play in defence is a need. You always need more midfielders. And we have been linked to a number of small forwards, which is interesting because we've got another small forward coming in Maurice Rioli Jr. But yeah, look, I think before we talk about him, like, just pouring one
and
out.
You say finally, but because we've got a father son coming in rather than because we've got another small forward, because we've had heaps of small forwards.
We have had heaps of, but I say finally because we've been talking about Maurice Rioli Jr. for 3 years.
So. Right, gotcha. Now I see.
But you know, I do. You know, I feel genuinely sorry for guys like Fraser Turner and Luke English because they've been drafted to a really successful club. Yeah, admittedly, they got to play in a VFL Premiership, which is great. But this year, pretty much a lost year. They were in Melbourne for a lot of it, and I think they'd be entitled to feel, you know, the AFL dream goes quickly for some, and yeah, it's gone pretty fast for those guys.
Yeah, it has. It's always a sad moment, isn't it? And they don't. Yeah, it's good they got to play in the VFL flag, but you know, sort of got taken away from them this year. You know, they got to not play proper footy in a Queensland resort for a year. Like hanging out with Dusty, I'm sure is fun, but you know, I'm sure most of all they'd like to be playing footy. But yeah, good points. Or the small back. Do you think at all? I guess it's just the way the contracts worked. But do you think there's any of it is an endorsement of Paddy Naish, sort of the heir apparent that?
Possibly so. Look, I think Markov was just a situation, and yeah, Eglamazi Smith. You know, he's Paul Brownlow votes this year, which is really good on him. But yeah, he came from a long way back. I heard something that he might even train with a club over summer as well. Oh. I haven't seen that confirmed anywhere. But yeah, look, it is. I do.
I think he had his AFL games, and as you said, he's got Brownlow votes. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's. Yeah, I don't think there's any need to kick him anymore when he's down. But he
to come as far as he did, if you looked at him in his draft year, he seemed a million miles away from the AFL. So it was a huge effort for him to play as many games as he did. But yeah, it's a tough sport.
Yep, and it's cruel when you can have cruel moments. Yep, so which comes us to the draft, Nick, and one of I mean, you're the expert, and I'm just going to give you my very basic take, because, you know, reading three or four mock drafts, it seems like about where we're picking in our first pick, there aren't any good key forward prospects.
No, there aren't.
Somewhat unfortunate.
Somewhat unfortunate. There are three really good key forwards, and they'll all be gone in the top five or six picks. So I don't think it's even worth talking about. There is unfortunate. I think there's possibly you know, some guys who we might look at later on, but yeah, first for our first pick, I think it's much more likely that we go for a mid-size type rather than a key forward, unfortunately.
Before we get off the K4s, and I'm going to be interested to hear who's sort of on your hit list of likely candidates and who you like the most. I know I've got one. But what about Cox? He's sort of predicted to go about 15, sort of 200-centimetre, skinny but athletic. Could be exciting.
Yeah. Look, he's exciting. He's 202 centimetres and 87 kilos, and he's under 3 seconds for 20 metres, which is really fast. What position is he? Is a good question. Like, is he more athletically McBean? Like, because he doesn't win a ton of contested ball, but I think with those guys if you don't know what position are, they're probably a key defender, and you just let him develop there, but and it will take quite some time to develop. But yeah, really athletic. But it doesn't seem likely that he'll make it to our pick, unfortunately.
Yeah, and maybe that's the hope, that he doesn't have a position, so there's a small chance that he falls. Teams who sort of have more immediate needs, and we get a high upside, quite likely to bust prospect, but you know, exactly in the position we need. Well, sorry, in the positional type that we need, but yeah, not one single draft has him lasting to us. So, thank you for indulging my dream, Nick. But that I think that's the dream result, right?
Well, I've got a slightly different dream result. I'm very fond of Heath Chapman, who's sort of, he's a Western Australian, 193 centimeters. Again, I think there's a really good chance that he doesn't make it to our pick. He's, you know, all the mock drafts have him sort of going in the mid-teens, so he's not a million miles away from our pick, but he doesn't quite seem to make it this far. The knock it, like, he's super athletic, great intercept mark, and he loves, you know, getting the ball and sprinting from half back. The knock against him is that he's not very good one on one, and yeah, you can't leave him isolated against the Giants, but you know, the Giant key forwards. But we've got Noel Bolter for that. So the idea of 6 foot four super athletic defender floating over the top to take marks sounds just fine to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it put in some ways a perfect compliment. So that would be a good result. And you know, there's sort of also a case that one of the other places we've been guys we've been linked with, who's not a tall, but he's 188 centimeters, is Oliver Henry.
I like Oliver Henry. I also think he's not going to make it. He's like,
yeah.
So Jack, he's the brother of Jack Henry for Geelong, and he is Jack Henry is more athletic than you think, because he doesn't get the ball very much, and he's a fairly dour defender, but he's a very good athlete. Oliver Henry is sort of the through the looking glass version of what if the same height and the same athleticism, but he's very much an opportunistic third marking forward type, and he's a lot of fun. Doesn't win the ball very much, but just super, you know. He's not Jaden Stevenson on a good day, but if you squint super hard, you can see something of a resemblance.
Yeah, and I think complementary to our existing players, because other than Vossa, we don't really have anyone like that. So
no,
I'm seeing him completely as a backman, but you know, maybe I'm wrong, but yeah. Exciting. So who else is on your radar, Nick?
Well, the AFL.com Phantom Draft came out today, and it honestly warmed my heart, because it had at our pick someone who I think would be a fantastic outcome for us in Finlay McRae, who's Jack McRae's half brother, I think, the Bulldogs midfielder. And he is somewhat Jack McRae, except 5 centimetres shorter. You know, good inside out midfielder. You know, covers a ton of territory. You know, sort of kills you through accumulation rather than flash. Two-sided midfielder. Not a ball winning beast, but you know, just is a good footballer.
Yeah, and look, I didn't mind that, because as much as we did draft a lot of mids in last year, none of them, you know, Thompson Downs showed promise, but none of them are guaranteed and you know, a blue chip prospects as you'd expect from where we're drafting. And Cochin's very, very close to the end. That sounds so cruel to say it, but you know, he's an inside mid. We need more.
Well, McRae's more outside than inside, but sort of, you know, would be a really good part of the midfield group, and you know, I think puts you know, he's 78 kilos, so he needs some weight, but yeah.
Well, we've never been afraid of small midfielders before, though, have we?
No, and look, he's not that small. He's just smaller than his brother. But yeah, I like him. It's not when he's a very nice kick. He doesn't sort of bullet the ball. You know, but I mean, nobody's dusty on a good day. But yeah, he does a lot of things well.
So on a similar vein, or slightly more inside mid, but Tom Powell, the ball gathering midfielder from Sturt, what are you thinking? Stats love him.
Oh, South
gets
South
a ton of the ball.
South Adelaide. He does get a ton of the ball. So
he was I think that Nightmares mock, who now writes for ESPN. I think he mocked him to us.
Yeah. Look, he's averaged 35 disposals a game in the SA NFL under-18s. And you see the footage, and he's 185 centimetres, and he almost looks key position size. Like, oh, I couldn't help but think. Brad Helbig averaged 25 disposals and a goal a game for the SA.
Ooh, hot take. Coming in top. Hot.
And, yeah, so, you know, the competition's not very good. And, this super weird year where all the Victorian footage is from their bottom age year when they're 17 and, you know, playing against mostly guys who are a year older. Western Australian footage is on the great big grounds playing wide open footy, you know, not nearly as contested as Victorian football. And the South Australian football isn't of that greater standard, and you don't have the national championship to compare it to. So, yeah, it's really hard. But Tom Powell's a good footballer. I don't think he does anything outstanding, but you know, he's an extremely good footballer. He's a good athlete. He wins his own ball. He's got very good hands. Like he's got things that will translate at the highest level, but yeah, he's not the most exciting prospect.
And we've also, I mean, Bailey Laurie, who's a sort of small forward. Jack Higgins, like that, he's a small forward who pushes into midfield.
Yeah, Jack Higgins minus about 5 kilos, and you know, Oakley played on the most incredible Oakley Chargers team, chocked full of first round draft picks. He's pretty small, and he's not super fast, but he's got very good agility, runs up and back really well, extremely good kick, going inside 50. I don't mind him. I think he's a chance. I think there's maybe some other guy. There's certainly some of the other guys we've mentioned previously I'd prefer ahead of him, but he's a good footballer.
Well, and this is a really hard draft to predict. So is there anyone else you want to mention before we talk about late-round smokies? And then we just sort of... And if you haven't, if we covered them all, who, what would your, what's your dream scenario that's still realistic?
Well, the another one, the two sort of more speculative picks that, that have been linked to us, the Connor Stone, who's yet another ugly Chargers player. He's 189 centimetres, kicked five goals in a game last year. He's tested under 3 seconds in 20 metres, which is quick, got a big leap. Sort of, I don't know, one of these guys who really needed to play football this year, so you could see what sort of footballer he's going to develop into. But he's a good size, good athlete, certainly shown flashes of talent. But yeah, he'd be more of an upside play. But he is a safe pick compared to the other sort of super.
He's, by the way, in Nightmen mocked him 45 to Carlton, so he's not a, he's certainly mixed opinions on him. And who's the other one?
Certainly mixed opinions. Well, the other one who's really the AFL's .com Cal Toomey's linked him to us. Max Holmes, who's the son of Lee Naylor, who was a Commonwealth Games gold medalist, I think in the long jump, and surprisingly enough, he is a super elite athlete with not much of a football background. He played one game for Sandringham last year, but he's 189 centimetres, elite speed and endurance, outside midfielder type. So he's maybe, look, if we I think he'd be perfect for our second pick, but he's Cal Toomey said he's even a very rough chance for our first pick if things sort of break a certain way.
Now, Nick, I've got one guy that I like for our second pick, which feel free to you might want to just load up your shotgun now and get ready to shoot this wildly speculative thing I'm about to toss up. Kane Baldwin.
Oh, I like Kane Baldwin. Actually, before we get to the second pick, the other another player who's sort of around our pick, Braden Cook. Honestly, he's, you know, come from nowhere a bit this year. South Australian, kicked a ton of goals. I just had the strongest Ben Lennon vibes. I almost blacked out.
Oh my god! Any. Whenever they talk about goal kicking mid forward and they don't mention blinding speed, I just like, I lose interest instantly.
Yeah,
199
centimeters. You know, 3.1 20 meter, like smart but not explosive. Ugh. Yeah.
We can't play caddy. You need to be two things in the Richmond forward line. You need to be either burning fast or tall and a strong marker. There's no middle ground. Now, it's hard, Nick. You've been on a roll. You've predicted almost every time.
Didn't get last year.
All right, okay. Well, you're off the hook then. So in that case, I can just... We've named quite a few players. Like, who is your dream scenario? Doesn't have to be the most likely.
McRae or Chapman. I would be really happy with either of those guys.
Okay, that's fair. So, yeah, so we were just on the second pick. Obviously, we can mention a lot of names, but the Kane Baldwin's an interesting guy because could have been an elite prospect, a key forward prospect, but and a great contested mark. What, 195, I think? And
194, I think. So he was under 16s. He was All-Australian ahead of some of the guys who are now going to be top 50, top 5 draft picks this year. But when he was and played SANFL reserves at 16, but that was the last time he played. He had a tore his ACL when he was 17, and came back this year and hurt his knee again. So it's been 2 years since he's played. Look, he's a little undersized for a key forward, but he's a contested marking beast. Yeah, he's a nice kid, actually. I saw an interview with him.
Yeah, I'd love to get him with our second pick. You know, we're exactly at the right point to take a punt on a highly speculative, high ceiling, low floor, type player.
If you squint super hard and the knee's fine, he's got a 5% chance of being Jack Darling, which is pretty exciting. The other one I'm really interested where he goes is a kid from Tassie, Jackson Chalo. He's 194 and centimeters and 100 kilos, so a real man child. Actually tested as being pretty fast, but he is I think following his career, it's going to answer the question that you didn't know you were asking about what Steven Jurica would look like in modern football.
Yes, well, yeah, no, it's quite true. I've never asked myself that question. I saw Steven Jurica in an era better suited for Steven Jurica, and it wasn't that good either.
Yeah, but
he had his moments, as we remember.
He did, and look, he would be relatively ready to go. Look, he's played a bit as a key back this year in Tassie State League football, and even a little bit on ball. So he's proven to be a little more versatile. But look, he's the kind of guy who's going to have to come in and possibly lose some weight. When he gets in a AFL training program, and yeah, you know, if you think what it's like, what if he was playing against Richmond, you know, he's matched up against Noah Bolter, and the moment the ball hits the ground, he's going to be flailing away trying to catch Noah. So yeah, there's a reason why he's not going to be a first-round draft pick, but he'd be a really fun prospect if we did get him.
Yeah, nice one.
Hmm.
Now, Nick, every year I want to...
Well, we haven't talked about Maurice Rioli Jr.
Okay.
We've mentioned him at the start. Look, we've talked about him before. The word is he won't get bid on until relatively late, if possibly at all, in which case we get to automatically list him as a rookie. But, he's a very Richmond pick, and not just because he's Rioli. Like, he tackles hard, and he closes fast. So he'll be just fine fitting in that regard. He doesn't win a ton of ball, but he's good at ground level, and he pulls goals out of nowhere. But he doesn't, you know, he's not really a big endurance pig the way his nephew Daniel is.
No, I think it's fair to describe from what I've heard that his endurance is suboptimal.
Oh, look, it's not terrible. It's fine. But it's not. It's much better than Cyril's was, but it's not. Daniel's is elite, and it's not elite. But he is genuinely quick, and he's played some good senior footy up in the NT. So yeah, he will be a lot of fun to have running around in the VFL next year. And yeah, he was eligible to us and Fremantle under Father Son, and to Essendon under the Academy scheme. So yeah, I'm really glad he's chosen us.
I agree, Nick. Very exciting. Now, Nick, every year I get I harass you and also look myself for smoky ruck prospects, and I think it is just good to remind everyone, including what you reminded me, that we do already have a smoky ruck prospect coming from the University of Hawaii. But, you know, in my endless obsession of you can't have too many rucks running around in the VFL, is there anyone else that potentially would be a smoky?
Well, apparently we have shown a little bit of interest in Samson Ryan, who's 206 centimetre 20-year-old, just about to turn 20-year-old from Queensland. So he'd be, you know.
Oh, he might be useful.
Well, he's an enormous lump of a human being. He's quite a good athlete, if not a particularly coordinated one. But, you know, if you wanted someone to at least be competitive in a ruck contest, he could do it. I thought of you when I heard that we'd shown a little bit of interest.
Well, yeah, and like if he's 20, there's a small chance he might be able to play semi-competent football next year. So that's what we need. We don't actually need another development, right? Because we've in a year's time, we're going to have too many if the University of Hawaii kid's got a heartbeat and obviously Soldo hopefully be back. But yeah, we have a round two problem if Nank does his hammy in round one.
Well, exactly. So yeah. Interesting prospect. So that's the draft. It's Wednesday night. You know, it's not as much fun as
as winning premierships.
Is when we had top 10 picks, but wouldn't trade the current situation for anything in the world.
Couldn't agree more. And look, I'm going to look forward to it, Nick. And this talk has helped, but. But I'm excited about it. I'm going to follow live, and now I'm going to, once it gets to about pick 10, I'm going to start watching every pick to see, you know, who will fall. And, you know, you've given me McCray. It's like, yeah, it's great football now. And, yeah, looking forward to it.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time.
Shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up. Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
They were a better team last year than they are now.